Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's on the radio.
And online. I'm Megan.
Oh, and I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games. Because we like video games?
No.
We have lots of video games?
Yeah, that's true.
We collect video games and ignore them for a while.
Yeah, I don't dislike video games.
No, we do love our video games. We play a lot of video games, and you know what? Right now is as good a time as any to start stocking up and planning for video games for the holiday season, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but winter is coming.
Okay.
And that means we're going to be stuck indoors. And away from the cold and having to entertain ourselves in any means that we can.
Yeah.
So, now's the time to start looking at what you want to play over December, January, up until...
I guess so. I'll do what I do, which is when I feel like playing video games, I will do it. Slash when I'm like, I can beat a game within, 2 hours-ish? But yeah.
I'm going to get Mario All-Stars 3D. I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get through Outer Worlds, which I am going to beat, but I keep having to put down because this game's a bit challenging for me because I don't do first-person shooters all that well.
Can you lower the difficulty?
I think I have it as low as I can get it.
I think you can lower the difficulty.
I will try, but I will point out that Outer Worlds has fixed their text issue, where when it initially came out, the text was very, very tiny. They've upped the size you can up it by quite a bit, so they made that better.
Yeah.
So you've been watching me struggle with that. So I've had to put it down, and I brought up the Switch again, and I beat Donkey Kong instead. It's an easier game in my perspective.
And have you ever beat Donkey Kong before, Megan?
Yes.
Okay, well...
But it's been a while.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
My Super Nintendo controllers, I think, are on their way out officially because it was much easier this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would highly recommend checking out your Switch Super Nintendo collection if you've got it. If you got the online subscription, because Donkey Kong Country's there, guys. And I'm crossing my fingers they'll come out with two for the winter.
Yeah.
So... You have been playing a lot of cool video games this past week.
Yeah, I guess. I beat Spec Ops The Line, which, here's the thing. And I don't think it's a bad game in any way. I just think the problem is that I am not the kind of person to appreciate this kind of game and its subversion sort of thing. And that's probably because I don't play a lot of war games or anything. Because I already realized that they glorify, they're sort of a glorification of war and also funded by military, stuff like that. So I'm sort of already not really on board with those things. I've probably played a Call of Duty once in my life, but I don't know which one.
I think all the Call of Duties kind of blend together.
And that's not to say that I play some games that aren't kind of whatever. They are what they are, and I realize that. That's not to crap on people who play Call of Duty, but it's just I know what they are. They're not for me. So something like Spec Ops The Line, where it does very much subvert this kind of genre, it just maybe falls flat for me in particular because I'm not accustomed to that kind of game and I'm I don't see the subversion. I just sort of see it as oh no, this is horrible. Oh no, this is bad.
This is really tragic.
This is an upsetting game. And then why did I play this? I thought it was a cool thing.
Well, didn't it come recommended to you by somebody?
I've been recommended it several times, actually. And I'm I'll get on it because I've heard that there's cool things. And I will say there are a couple very neat scenes. But stuff that it's sort of I don't know. Maybe at this point in time, it's sort of I'm used to that kind of genre, or not genre, but you know, revert or whatever, subversion, there's the word. Like, I'm used to subversions of genre, and so when I see this, I don't even see it that much as a subversion. It's sort of like a psychological thriller kind of game for me now, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's just more of a, oh yeah, it's this kind of game. I don't think it's bad, I think there's cool things about it. I kind of wish it was even more overt with its subversion, and I think like it could have done stuff with even with the UI. I thought they would start, and they did a little bit, where as you start going down, the loading screens start to say things that are kind of mean and kind of like kind of sketchy. And it's great because it's sort of like the game is against you, and it sort of knows that you aren't a good person, sort of thing.
If they were to make a newer version or remake this game, would you play it again?
Yeah, because I think they, like, I think there are a lot of things they could do, and I think games, you know, like Undertale, where they break the fourth wall, I guess, but also, you know, interact with a video game and the game system itself. I think that Spec Ops: The Line could do that and even engage the player in it more, as in, like, why are you a person who plays these games and enjoys, like, I feel like that could be put on the player, and I think it could work really well. Obviously, I think people might get mad at this because they're like, video games don't make you violent, mer, mer, mer. And like, yeah, I get, yes, 100%, 100%. But there are things in video games that obviously lead us to believe that things are normalized or things are a certain way because of the media that we consume and the media that we see every day. So it's just an amount of, yeah, no, it's not a perfect one-on-one, you know, fiction reality thing. But we do need to realize media doesn't exist in a vacuum, etc. So. But Spec Ops: The Line was fine. Maybe not a game for me. There are some cool things about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It made me upset, you know, like it made me do things I didn't like to do in a video game, which I think is kind of fine. Like, I think, I don't know, it did what it needed to do, and I probably won't play something like this. Like, it makes me not want to play war games, right?
Yes. It gave you a no-win choice, I guess, a few times.
It did, and it is a mostly no-win game, and that's kind of like, I don't necessarily hate that kind of situation, and I kind of knew that this wasn't going to be a happy ending for me, and I got the quote-unquote best ending, I think, like, where I'm alive and I went back and nobody else died after a certain point where it could continue, which is kind of neat because it does have an ending where it's sort of the cycle continues, which I thought about going back and getting, but I'm like, no, he's been through so much. I've just ruined this poor man. Yeah.
You got your moon ending where you...
Yeah, it was upsetting. I didn't like it. And then I played another game that I don't know if I liked the ending to. Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which I've also wanted to play for a while. I actually own it on Steam and just never... I don't have a thing to play that with.
Never broke it open.
Yeah, but now we have it on PlayStation whatever now.
PlayStation Now, their streaming service.
Yeah, so I got to play it that way. This is a game from 2014.
It looks very, very good. I will point out for a 2014.
It's great looking. It's cool. I don't know about the ending. It made me pretty sad, actually. Well, not pretty sad. It's just sort of like a depressing ending where I thought that there might be some hope. I'm not going to spoil the ending for you, but I didn't go into this game. I didn't realize it was a sad game at all. I thought, and I didn't even realize, I knew there was something that, you know, you were looking for somebody.
Right.
Named Ethan Carter. I actually didn't know that he was a little boy.
It sounds like a very protagonist name. Like,
it is, but he is, I guess, in a way the protagonist, but you are a character named Paul, I forget your
name. Prospero.
Thank you.
Psychic and detective.
Yes, he's a detective. And he was sent a letter by Ethan Carter talking about some stuff in Ethan Carter's life, and you show up to go to see him and find out that he's missing. And It is an interesting game where, like, one of the first things it tells you, it's like, this game doesn't handhold you, do what you want, like, sort of thing. And I think there is an amount of you could literally go through this game and not figure out quests, sort of thing, or not figure out certain parts, and you could just get to the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's one of those games where you, the more you look and discover and check out stuff, the more you learn about what is actually happening.
So it kind of fills your like of the point and click situation.
It is. It's, yeah, plus a walking simulator. Like,
yeah.
It is, and it's very chill. I would say there is one. There's one part that caught me off guard because it was...
You scared the heck out of me.
Well, because I wasn't expecting that this game could hurt me, I guess. You know, like, it sort of, like... And it doesn't even end the game. Like, it just sort of throws you back at a certain point. But there is sort of, like, a kill stage. Like, I died, basically. Because there's this one part where you have to do this sort of little labyrinth puzzle and find 5 dead bodies to open a door. And basically all of these sort of, they're kind of side quests, but they are important to the whole. Like, they, you do sort of have to do them to get, I guess, the proper ending. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But...
The good ending?
I don't know. An ending. But you have to basically do these little quests, and then you're sort of given a story that relates to this quest sort of thing, or this sort of thing that's happening here. The, like, one of the first ones that you encounter, there's an astronaut in the woods. And then you sort of get a piece of paper, and these are all Ethan's stories. And it seems like Ethan is sort of bullied by his family and bullied by his brother for, you know, his stories. And once again, I didn't really think that this would be a sad story. I'm just like, I'm just sort of FYI-ing you, like, just in case you don't want to play a little bit of a sad game, because it's kind of a Debbie Downer now that I know what the game is about. And I would have gone into it a little maybe differently, and maybe a different headspace other than, like, this one. And now I'm like, what?
We'll get you a palate cleanser after this.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad game, and I don't think the ending is bad. It just sort of was like I wasn't prepared for it, and I was sort of like, you know what's going to end really well? I'm a detective. I'm going to find child, and video game is going to end happy. I'm trying not to spoil it, because obviously, like, those things don't happen, but other stuff does happen. It and how it happens is really, I would say one game it does remind me of now that I'm trying to, I remember, is Oprah Din. It's not the Curse of, the Rise of, the Return of the Oprah Din.
I believe it's the Return.
Because
it returned to port.
I love that game.
Yes.
And it sort of reminds me of this, where you are able to sort of, like, touch and interact with these memories, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you get to sort of figure out how this happened, sort of thing.
Right.
Or how the memory happened, which is basically the entire mechanics of the Oprah Din, which, once again, is a game I love. So that's, it does, I was trying to remember what this game sort of reminded me mechanic-wise. And that is also what it reminds me, kind of mechanic-wise, except with Oprah Din, sort of, I sort of knew what I was getting into a little bit more. Not to say that, like, you know, this game is 6 years old, 2014.
Could you compare it to whatever happened to Edith Finch also?
A little bit. I would say a little bit, in the way that it's sort of like...
So I hear these two get compared in amount.
I'm going to say because of the narrator, like the unfaithful narrator sort of situation.
Right.
Or a narrator that you don't really know who the narrator actually is, other than you've been told it's this Paul Prospero who's coming to find him. And sort of things along the lines of, like, how you talk and how other characters talk. There's a reason, there's a difference there. I very much sort of picked up on the fact that, you know, like, once, this is sort of spoilery, so just if you want to keep Ethan Carter for yourself and play it, but just sort of, like, I very early picked up on that this might be something that Ethan has written. based on the fact that he writes stories that are very fantastical and that they are interwoven within this world, this game that you're in, right?
Right.
So I was sort of like, there might be an amount that this is all being written right now, or this is all, you're playing out this story, which is sort of the case in a way, but in a way not. Like, I do think it's a pretty interesting game. I would, if you're interested in sort of a, it's not quite a point and click, it's more of a walking simulator, a little bit of detective-y work. Like, if you liked Obra Dinn, I would say this is, it's not as enjoyable, because Obra Dinn was just, like, perfect in so many ways and such a good little mystery. This one is a good mystery. I would say it's frustrating at times. Whereas Obra Dinn, I would say, it could also be frustrating, but this really doesn't handhold you at all. And you can miss everything. You could just miss chunks because they're just nothing that really, there's some indication that sort of is like, oh, there's a house over there. Maybe go over there. Right.
Right.
But otherwise there's like, I don't know where to go. There's just forest and okay, I'll just walk into walls until I find the right way. But it's not, it's pretty good. Like, I did enjoy it. I'm glad I got to play it, finally. Yeah.
Yeah. And, as of last night, you went and revisited another game that used to tell me all about.
Yes.
Please tell the world about this 10-year-old game that you've been playing.
Is it 10 years old?
You were saying it was something like 10 years old.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I played it 7 years ago. But I played Left 4 Dead 2 for the first time in a very long time. Because they're actually updating it. For the first time in 7 years, which is
amazing.
Yeah, or maybe not seven, but like, and it's also the first like Half-Life 2 engine game that's being updated since who knows when. Oof.
We can't count the later VR games of Half-Life.
No, that doesn't count.
No.
But I'm just saying, you know, Half-Life 3. What PlayStation 5 is coming up? No, they put it out on PC, but
hey,
you know.
The UK newspapers are already saying that you should start saving up for the PS6 for, like, 4 years from now.
No!
So.
Gosh. Okay. But, yeah, I was playing Left 4 Dead 2, which, I used to play this game a lot. I'm pretty excited that they are updating it, and they look like they're, like, doing, like, graphical things. They're doing animation fixes. They're doing voice lines that were cut. Like, they're adding those.
Okay, well, I was watching you play this because
yeah.
We were also watching our friend Angel, who
yeah.
is Flax Angel on Twitch.
Okay.
She's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And watching, like, the graphics from 7 years ago, 2013, at the latest for that.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
they
not
must
bad.
Have updated because this game looked pretty dang good for
its
age.
It's not bad.
No.
I have mods on mine, which were really funny because mine are all Vocaloid characters. All the player characters in Left 4 Dead 2 are all Vocaloids.
Which was pretty wild to watch Vocaloids on your screen
yeah,
and all the regular characters.
Once again, it's a Half-Life 2 engine game, so you can mod this heavily. There's some really funny ones, but yeah, it's sort of, like, I don't know if Left 4 Dead is sort of, I don't know, it's a kind of a generic zombie shooter, but then it's, like, it's fun. You can play it with up to 3 other people.
I think that was a selling point is because there weren't all that many co-op zombie games that
yeah.
were reliable at the time to
That's
play.
That's probably true. And this is sort of, like, it does really have longevity. Like, there's, like, multiple modes. Like, you can be the zombies versus people. There's, like, I think, I want to say a good, like, 12 campaigns. And in each campaign, there's about 5, like, I want to say 4 to 5 different levels sort of thing.
Right.
And then you can also, like, up the difficulty. You can change things. It's fun. It's a fun game. I'm actually very excited, once again, that they are actually updating this. Like, you know, not many games get this chance, especially something that hasn't been, like, it's not a game that, you know, Left 4 Dead 3 isn't coming out. It's, you know, like, I haven't heard about that. But this is sort of maybe as close to that as we'll get at this moment.
Like, I know it has a very, very big fan base.
Yeah.
And it was part of the Orange Box, which was just
like just all the Valve games.
Yeah. So like the Portal, Half-Life 1 and 2.
And I think the thing is, that like this was also, I don't want to say one of the first zombie games, but it was around the time when zombies were popular. You know, like it was in that era where we had our zombie TV shows starting, we had our zombie movies starting.
World War Z was starting to make its impact.
Well, and you know, just it, not even World War Z, but just like, you know, like Warm Bodies and Zombieland and just like all the in the Walking Dead, like all the zombie media started popping up and we were like, yay, zombies for some reason.
And I think this one didn't take itself too seriously either.
No, it is a little bit silly. Like, it's not that serious. It is, it, yeah. It isn't that serious, which I think for a zombie game, you know, is kind of nice, right? Like, when I think of my favorite zombie movie, it's Shaun of the Dead, because it's like, it's a zombie movie, but it's also very funny and it's very clever. So I like a little comedy with my zombies, because we're all a little bored of sad zombies, right?
Because also when it was released, that was the time when everything needed to be dark and gritty and depressing, and people were looking for that angst, and this was something different.
And the, once again, so there was a lot of that in zombies, but yeah, I'm glad once again that they're actually, well, and what's, it's not actually Valve who's doing this. This is actually like it's fans, right? It's modders and community members who are actually putting this together. I will say it is approved by Valve, which is a pretty big deal. But it's also nice, once again, to show that, you know, the community can come together and that it's nice that, you know, game developer, like something like Steam or Valve will be like, okay, you know, people do want this, so we won't say no, right? At least that.
Yeah, Valve at least lets fans play with their properties and release their assets. And
Nintendo.
That's why a lot of people are playing Gary's Mod and doing things in Gary's Mod, which is the only reason why I have the Left 4 Dead stuff on my computer, is because assets are needed to play with my pals.
But Left 4 Dead is fun. Anyway.
It's worth checking out.
Yeah.
And let's go to some gaming news.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things that has happened in the past week is Microsoft has bought Bethesda.
Yeah.
And they claim that they are going to still allow some cross-platform games when they release Bethesda games, but it's on a case-by-case basis. Now, what do you think is going to come out of this strange merger of these two massive companies?
I don't know. Neither do very well, like, in terms of their own properties. I'm going to say, the only reason to buy Bethesda is, like, Skyrim and Fallout, right? And then the only other reason is also because Bethesda produces some good games. Like, I'm not going to say they make good games, because I don't believe that anymore.
Well, they have to stop rehashing and releasing and making promises that they can't keep.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, in, you know, it shouldn't be at human cost. Like, we can wait for good video games, whatever. But, I just, whatever. I don't know if that was a smart idea. They must have paid a lot of money for it. Like, I'm going to assume there was quite a lot, because that's a pretty big deal. I don't think there will be console exclusives for things like Skyrim or Fallouts, because people will get very mad. And Microsoft has, like, a bad track record of, like, keeping exclusives anyways. Like, they don't, usually.
Eventually, they do have to release these games out into the world. Like, I guess one of their other big ones was they had bought out Rare.
Yeah.
And had tried to market on Banjo and Kazooie.
Yeah.
And, well,
yeah, what has happened there? Like, we know he's in Smash, or they're in Smash now, right? Like, that's the thing that we know, like, that we're happy about Banjo Kazooie-wise, right? Like, not, even though, like, Rare Replay is apparently great, but I'm not going to buy an Xbox for that, so.
And there's been some confusion with pre-orders of the new Xbox system. People are getting, like, because the closeness of the names, people have been accidentally ordering older consoles, so.
That's the thing. That's, like, you know, like, PlayStation, like, it, people may think it's boring going, like, 1 to 5, but at least we understand, you know, which number you want.
Right.
When it's called things like Xbox X or Xbox...
Series S, Series X.
Yeah, when it's, or, you know, like, it's going to get, like, I don't even know what the new Xbox is called. It's an Xbox box? I don't know. Like, I know it's a box. It's more box-like than all of the other ones.
The Xbox GameCube.
Yeah. And at least, like, Nintendo very much differentiates, right? Like, we got the Nintendo 64. We got the GameCube. We have the Wii. Like, I guess Wii and Wii U, but we're sort of, that's almost a supplementary.
Yeah.
But then we have, like, the Switch. Like, we have very different names. I will say, I know people get the Wii and Wii U mixed up still. That such is life. Nintendo sort of knew what they were doing with their, like, once again, it's very intentional how they name things, right?
Yes.
Like they have pretty clever naming conventions. They could have come up with something. No.
Well, the Wii was supposed to be the revolution. True. But they ended up going with the Wii.
Yeah.
Not sure if that was a good decision or not.
But they did.
But they did. So we have Xbox now. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then now we had PlayStation put out some more information this past week as well. So we are getting a new God of War.
Oh,
follow up to their last God of War. So this one's going to be Ragnarok, tentatively.
Oh.
There's plans for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Oh. I mean, yay!
There's going to be a special edition of Devil May Cry 5, which I am interested in.
Okay,
for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
And new Spider-Man is going to be there, too. So.
Of course, yeah. Like, one thing that I will say that I kind of am, like, the only reason I would get an Xbox is because I know Psychonauts is going to be a console release on that.
I'm sure it's going to eventually cross-platform.
Yes, it is. Yeah, like, it's just for the first, I don't know how many months, which is going to, that'll be hard for me, but I'll wait. It's fine. But yeah, just comparatively, because certain things definitely will never come to, like, the Xbox. Like, Bloodborne isn't going to come to the Xbox, right? Like,
Demon's Souls is supposed to be a launch title for the PlayStation 5.
Yeah! So. And that's going to be interesting because it doesn't look like they are going to... I think they're going to do PC. I don't know about Xbox.
Well, see, there's... The thing is that they're saying it's going to be exclusive. What they've released has the PC logo, but people are speculating on whether that was a mistake or not on the graphics department.
I would assume it's not going to be a PlayStation exclusive because of the fact that there could be a huge online fan base like there already is with Dark Souls. And people have probably already modded or like probably already played Demon's Souls like on their computer kind of thing. So, I'm sure, you know...
We'll wait and see on that one.
Yeah, I think it would be in their best interest, like, money-wise. It would be a really good idea. Also, this isn't a Sony project. It's Bluepoint.
Right.
I don't know if Bluepoint are actually owned by Sony, though. They might be. Who knows?
Agreements, though, they have to follow within...
For sure. It would be a good idea, though. Demon's Souls, yeah, we saw a little bit of it. It looks incredible. It looks like more than a remaster, like they're reimagining it. Like they're sort of like, this is what we can do with new technology and a new budget.
The stuff we couldn't do before, we can do now.
And it looks like, once again, it looks like it's going to be terrible and difficult. I kind of hope they do away with some of the more gimmicky fights, like the dragon king, the god dragon.
Right.
Because he's such a cool design, such a cool monster creature. What a boring, terrible little fight. I would love a cooler fight with him. I don't know how much we'll get with that, but it looks like they are changing some, like, fight things as well. So, yeah.
So, that about wraps it up. We won't be getting our hands on a PS5 anytime soon because it's done by Lotto. Pre-orders are being done by Lotto, but that's a whole other argument for another day.
Yeah, we'll
get one eventually.
Yeah, it'll happen one day.
Someday. All right, everybody, that's everything we got for you for this week. Keep changing.
Bye.